sound bites. Call the show now at 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free 800-790-0415 or soundbites.org. Now, alongside Steve Ray and Dave Enright, here's Nick Francesco on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. America, and all the chips in the BC. It is Saturday, the 6th of June, anno 2015. And you lucky people, you're listening to Soundbites. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 5 minutes after the hour, we're going to be bringing you news, views, things to choose, nothing to lose, kick off your shoes, don't get the blues. Here comes the news. And in the meantime, you can give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Or toll free at 1-800-790-0415. Microsoft Corporation said on Monday, its new Windows 10 operating system will be available worldwide on July 29th. As a free upgrade for users of the most recent versions of Windows. Touch-friendly Windows 10, which features the return of the Start menu and will run across PCs, tablets, and smartphones, is Microsoft's latest attempt to win over mobile users. It will be offered as a free upgrade to users of Windows 7 and 8.1, a strategy designed to capture as many users as possible. New PCs and tablets running Windows 10 will go on sale July 29th, while Windows 10 for other devices such as smartphones will be available later this year. Windows 10 will be free for 1 year for anyone running Windows 7 or Windows 8.1, and it will be a direct upgrade, meaning you can run the Windows 10 installation in Windows 7 or 8.1, and you should end up with Windows 10 in the end. Windows 10 marks Microsoft's big push to get itself back on course after the miscues of Windows 8. So every little thing counts, including getting the installation correct right off the bat. Not all software upgrades go smoothly, however. I don't know if any of you have ever noticed that. Compatibility problems rear up, especially when you upgrade from one operating system to another. Certain hardware may not be compatible. Certain software programs may not be supported or may need to be updated or reinstalled. How will you know if the hardware or software you run in Windows 7 or 8.1 will still work after the upgrade? Microsoft can help you determine if and how your PC or tablet will handle the move to Windows 10. First, those of you running Windows 7 or Windows 8.1 should see a Windows 10 icon in the Windows Systems tray. This icon debuted June 1 to coax you to reserve your free copy of Windows 10 so that come July 29th, the installation package is automatically downloaded to your PC. But whether or not you've made the reservation, you can still check your PC to see which hardware and software may not play ball with Windows 10. Click the Get Windows 10 icon in the Windows 10 upgrade. Click the icon with the three horizontal bars, which is also known for no good reason as the hamburger icon. From the left pane that appears, click the link to check your PC. The compatibility report opens to tell you if Windows 10 will work on your PC. You'll also see a list of any hardware and software that may not be fully compatible or may not work with Windows 10. So, our poll of the week at soundbites.org, that's Bites with a Y, Francis would like us to remind you, is Windows 10 available 29 July. And your choices are, at last, oh, that's nice, Don't Rush Me, and Win What Now? Exactly. So far, we've got 28 votes, and of course, because of you wiseacres, Win What Now is leading. But I know you'll have more to say, so if you slide down the right-hand side of the page there, you'll see under Fascinating Stuff, the forums. If you click on that, it takes you to our list of forums. The second one is the poll discussion. And if you click on that, the top choice is forum. June 15, Windows 10 available 29 July. There are four people who have posted already. And you'll want to join that discussion, I know. And, of course, you'll want to join a discussion with us. And give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free, 1-800-790-0415.
All right, you got to really know that they're in a panic. All right. They've had great pieces of software like Windows ME,
ooh,
Vista, and then Windows 8.
Yeah.
Under all of those, the other two, they never offered free upgrades.
Yeah. Well, now hold on a minute,
what I'm saying, no, let me just but going back to even Windows 7. Now, I can see, you know, offering the free upgrade for Windows 8.
From 8 to 8.1 was free.
Yeah, but going from 8 to Windows 10, that's okay. But now to also try to get all the folks that are still back on Windows 7 and pull them right along.
No, you have to listen carefully to what Microsoft is saying. Windows 10 will be free for a year.
Mm-hmm.
What they aren't saying is probably what will be announced on July 29th, which is that at the end of that year, Windows 10 will become a subscription service.
Oh, yeah.
If you want to keep
that's
it running,
coming along. Yeah.
You pay $100 a year. So what they're doing is...
Leasing it.
Exactly. But what they're doing is all the people who would keep Windows 7 until they died, or Windows 8.1 until they died, will be automatically moved to Windows 10, and screw you, you'll have to pay $100 a year.
Mm-hmm. There's also been competition from
whatever the price will actually be.
Yeah. There's also been competition from the other OS vendors. Google's Android is free. The Chrome OS is free. And Apple, last two upgrades have been free. Before that, it was only $20. So Apple's been driving the price down of the OS upgrade. Well, and Apple can make it up on the hardware. And so in Microsoft's case, Windows and Office are their two cash cows. And giving Windows away for free is an interesting ploy. But this is only free for consumers, right?
Right.
Enterprise still has to pay.
Enterprise still has to pay, but Enterprise gets support.
Yeah.
That you likely are not going to get. I mean, a level of support.
Well, now, even as a consumer, you could never get support from Microsoft.
Right. So that's going to be part of it. And, of course, you're absolutely right. Your Chromebook, the OS is free. Your Linux OS has always been free. Mac OSs are suddenly free. Microsoft is in the position of being the only one left charging for an operating system.
Right.
And because of that, they've got to at least look like they're going to be free. But of course, again, you have to remember that they are a publicly traded company. So you're not actually the customer. You're the product. The customer is the shareholder, and the shareholder is going to say, why are you giving away something that people should be paying for so that our stock is worth more? So it's an interesting issue. It's an interesting problem, and Microsoft is trying to figure a way to solve it without actually losing a lot of money. And you know what? It's that old deal. You lose it on every sale, but you make it up in volume. There are an awful lot of people who've never paid for Windows. That won't fly anymore.
Right. Well, and even if you don't realize it, when you bought your PC with Windows on it, there was a cost to that Windows from OEM. So OEMs are still going to have to pay for it, right?
Right.
Yeah. So it's confusing.
We don't know.
Yeah. They haven't said yet.
You know, if you buy a Windows 10 PC when it's available, will there be an activation process where you put in your credit card number to pay that $100 a year?
That could be, yeah. Instead of, say, Dell paying Microsoft to put Windows on it, you will have to do it at your end.
Right. I'm sure Microsoft would rather both Dell and you pay.
Yeah, both.
But we'll see. Well, Dell may pay for that first year.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So we'll see. Well, you know, we'll see. We don't have all the answers yet. We theoretically will have them sometime in the next 2 months. This has caused a lot of people to look at Macs. It's caused a lot of people to look at Linux. You can put, Linux is free. If you've got an older PC, you can put Linux on it for free and test it and play with it and see what you think.
So, and a lot of businesses have just now upgraded to Windows 7, so they're not going to want to upgrade again so soon.
Right. That's exactly right. So, but they have a year.
Yeah.
The less free time you have.
We've said that in the Mac community, so now this will apply in the Windows community too. Even if you don't think you're going to install it, download it now while it's free.
Right.
Because in a year and a half when you decide you want it and it's not free anymore, but we don't know if activation will be required after that.
Right. But also don't forget, there's the way it looks, and I've got a Windows 8 machine, and so I activated the thing. And what you do is you reserve a copy of Windows 10. And I believe what's going to happen is it will download an installer, not the actual product.
And then I hate that. It downloads a stub, and then it downloads the whole thing.
Right.
And it
right.
doesn't save the whole download, so you can't use it on another computer.
Right, 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 right.
Now, Microsoft has announced that for those people that aren't eligible for the free upgrade, Windows 10 Home will be $120, and Windows 10 Pro will be $200. So the free upgrade is for Windows 7 and Windows 8.1. So if you're running XP or Vista, you're going to have to pay.
Or just keep XP and Vista,
which
is a very bad idea.
So what you do is you go on the aftermarket and find a leftover copy of Windows 7 for $50.
Right.
Although the problem there, a lot of those leftover copies you see online are illegal copies with someone else's serial number.
Right.
So it's very hard to know.
And the first thing it does is Microsoft says, "I'm sorry."
Right. Or worse, it activates on yours and deactivates on the person that really paid for it.
Yeah, exactly.
We've seen that happen too.
Yep. Yep. So there's a lot to this, but right now, you know, it's what we hear is Windows 10 will be free. What Microsoft is saying is Windows 10 will be free for the first year. How they make you pay after that first year, the assumption in the industry is that it will be a subscription service, and if you don't pay, they shut you down.
And they will get their money.
But we don't know that yet.
But you can almost be assured.
I will almost... Yeah. You know, I'll put money on the table any day on that. But
me too. That's a sure bet.
Yeah, but you know, we don't know for certain at this moment, one way or the other. So it's a
slick move.
Well, it's they have to do something.
Yeah,
people.
Yeah, but then here's the thing. All right, when it comes to the other operating systems upgrades and everything else, once they get you locked into leasing it.
You're done forever.
Yeah.
That's the whole idea behind putting this stuff on the cloud. Google is free. I don't know. Is iCloud still free?
You get 5 gigs of free space, but the programs are free on the cloud.
Running the programs are free, but you pay for additional space. On Google, as long as you're using their format, you can store all you want for free.
Mm-hmm.
But if you want to store other stuff, then you pay. Microsoft is doing iCloud. We don't know how that's going to work. Live
360.
Live 360. Office 365 is their office product.
Whatever it is. But the point there is that you will pay for that at some point.
Oh, yeah.
Now, what's interesting is if you're in a Microsoft world, if you have several computers at home, that Office 365 is a heck of a deal. It's $99 a year. So you work that out to $4 a month or some ridiculously small amount. You get 5 computers, 5 tablets, and 5 phones.
Yep.
So you get 15 licenses for $100 a year.
Yep.
And that's a heck of a deal.
That is a heck of a deal. I'm not saying it isn't, but the point is...
Now, what happens with Windows?
Right. Well, the idea is they lock you in
to
their format. You know, with one of the nice things I've always liked about Google is they have Google Takeout. So at any point, I can take all my documents of any type and download them. And when I download them, I can say, I would like these to be in Office format, please. Or I would like these to be in open document format, so you can use them with LibreOffice. Or text files or PDFs or whatever I want. So I can get them off of Google server quite quickly and in already in a format that I can use somewhere else.
All right, here's one for you. All right, you got the Chromebook there.
Yeah.
What is it that you can't do on that you can't do on a regular PC?
Nothing. Anything. I can't do anything I can do somewhere else. I can do everything I can do somewhere else.
Yeah. Microsoft,
and this is what is scaring them.
Yeah.
School districts all over the country are suddenly realizing that buying Windows machines or buying iPads, they can buy 2 for 1.
It used to be tablets were cheaper than PCs, and now the Chromebooks are cheaper than tablets.
Chromebooks are cheaper than tablets, and one of the things that I've always hated about Apple is their management console for iPads is crap. And the management console for Chromebooks is amazingly good. And we'll talk more about that when we come back. Quick break. Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Nick Francesco, you, 19 minutes after the hour, Soundbites, member-supported, Jazz 90.1.
Computer talk you can understand. More Soundbites is next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 24 minutes after the hour, we are sound bites. What were we talking about before the break? Oh, yeah, we were talking about Windows 10.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's going to be...
And going, you know, talking about your Chromebook, you know, I mean, it's more reason to go to a Chromebook.
Well, there are a couple of things right now that are scaring Microsoft. One was the whole iPad phenomenon.
Mm-hmm.
But
we had a tablet 10 years ago.
Right, exactly. The iPad phenomenon has scared them. But what's really scared them recently, because it's cutting deeper into their core business, is Chromebooks.
Mm-hmm.
There are schools all over the country who are giving up on Windows and Apple in order to get Chromebooks because they are so much less expensive and so much easier to truly control.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things you can do is set it to say, well, when the kids are in school, they can only go to these websites and do this and blah, 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 blah. And then when they leave school, they can do anything they want with them. And then when they come back into school, they can only do this.
Yep.
Which makes everybody happy. Everybody. They're inexpensive. You can get you get storage on Google. And again, if you buy it all through their management program, and it's super cheap, a lot of it is free, you get to manage that space for the students so you can make sure they don't upload illegal music mm-hmm. to it, et cetera, right? So you can do a lot of that stuff, and a lot of that works nicely. And again, you can buy two Chromebooks for one iPad right there, and sometimes three Chromebooks for one Windows desktop.
Yeah, how much is Chromebook going for?
Anywhere from $199 to $350, depending on what model you buy. You know they're buying the low-end models.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? That's fine.
Mm-hmm.
Because, first, the low-end models are generally 11-inch laptops. Well, kids' eyes are fine
yeah.
with an 11-inch laptop.
Yeah.
Me, not so much.
Yeah, $350.
right, exactly. But kids, not a problem.
No.
Now, this is a 13-inch laptop, and I'm perfectly good with it. I have an 11-inch at home, mm-hmm. which I can use, but I can't use it all day,
mm-hmm.
right? Kids can. They don't even notice that it's small. It's easy to carry. It's light. It's got, mm-hmm.
And they're normally on their phones all day, so the Chrome's a bigger screen.
Exactly.
Yeah, 11 inches is huge.
Exactly. The battery lasts 8 hours. I mean, how do you beat this? It's got everything you need. All of that is free, blah, 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 blah. And so they're loving it. Lots of schools are going for it. Lots of businesses are starting to look at it. I've done a little bit of consulting with a couple of businesses that have been interested in Chromebooks. That's really just beginning. But, you know, you buy them in bulk and they're even cheaper. You can buy the Chrome Base, which is a desktop version. You hook it into any monitor, keyboard, and mouse, and you've got a full desktop Chrome experience. Again, most people never need more. You can buy it with 2 gig of RAM, 4 gig of RAM, whatever you want. 2 gig is fine. 4 gig, of course, lets you open more tabs. Big deal for most people. So they're finding that it's a different experience, but a better deal for everybody. And that's why a lot of schools are going for it.
And
this scares Microsoft.
And kids don't mind change. They'll learn something new quickly.
They don't yeah. understand that change is difficult.
Yeah.
And so they, you know, you hand them an iPad today and a Chromebook tomorrow and something else. They don't care. They absolutely don't care. All right.
So I was looking at this Chrome Base, a 21-inch monitor. And the computer for $350.
The LG? Yeah.
Yeah. You almost can't get a 21-inch monitor for $350. And there's a computer in there, too?
And you get 100 gigabytes of Google Drive for 2 years, which costs you almost nothing eventually.
Yeah.
You can go walk into Best Buy and take a look at it. I mean, how do you beat this?
Including a keyboard and mouse.
Including the keyboard and mouse. And if you don't like that keyboard and mouse, you can buy your own for another $20. They're very nice. 21-inch... and it's an HD monitor, too,
black,
by the
yeah,
way.
Yeah, black or silver.
Yep.
looks like, or black or white. So, I would be. It's great that it's $350, but the first time it breaks, throw it away and buy a new one.
Well, and that's
part of the problem.
It.
Yeah,
you know, that's part of it. I know people who are on their third Chromebook because they've dropped them or broken them or whatever it is. And generally speaking, they laugh. It's $200. They've used it for a year and a half. It owes them nothing at that point. So they buy another one.
And the way that Chrome OS works is you log into your Google account and poof, all your stuff is already there.
All your stuff is there. 2 minutes later, 5 minutes later, depending on the speed of your internet connection, you're there. All right, to the phones. Our first caller is Betty from Fairport, New York. Hiya, Betty. What's up?
Hi, Nick. How are you today?
Peachy. How are you?
Peachy as well.
Good.
I've got a question for you regarding email on a Roadrunner account.
Sure.
My husband and I both have separate emails, and he, in this over the past week, he's gotten over 30 messages from mail delivery system, mail delivery failure. We get these sporadically that are spam and don't do anything with them, but he's gotten a large number of them, and they're coming from a domain of cdptpa-oedge, followed by a number 01, 02, 03, et cetera, et cetera, saying the message was created automatically by the mail system. Yep. Celerity.
I get a lot of those from China. You're lucky. Some mass spammer picked your husband's email address to send the spam from.
Yeah.
And so everyone that's blocking that spam and everyone that's bouncing the spam is sending back to your husband because his return address is in it.
Okay.
He didn't do this. It's likely that his email has not been hacked.
Okay, that's what he was worried about.
Certainly he should change his password just to be on the safe side.
Okay.
But it's likely that, as Steve said, some rando hacker somewhere in the world has picked that address, particularly if it's a generic address, like fred@rochester.rr.com. Don't tell me what it is. But that you know, it's that kind of thing. They just pick.
And sorry, Fred, if you're out there listening.
Yeah, there is a Fred.
How do you know it was Fred?
Right. But that's that's the kind of thing they do.
It's almost the same thing as a postal letter.
Yeah.
You can put anybody's return address on there you want.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And the whoever that was happened to pick your husband's address.
Right. Yeah. So what you can do is block anything coming from CDPT, whatever it is.
That one.
Yeah, and depending on what your email program is, you can set up a filter to block that stuff. Yeah.
Or just mark it as
just
spam.
Throw it in the trash, exactly.
Mark it as spam and throw it out.
But other than that, there's really not much you can do because none of it is happening at your end.
Okay. You could make a new email address, but that's a pain because then you've got to tell all your friends your new address.
It was my first suggestion.
Right.
No, it's easier just to mark it as spam and delete it to the trash.
If you are thinking of a new email address, we would recommend getting an address at like Gmail so it's not tied to your internet provider. So say you're using Roadrunner now. If you change to Frontier, you have to change your email address because you don't get Roadrunner anymore.
Right.
So if you use an email address at Google, then it doesn't matter who your internet provider is. They're giving you your mail. And Google has really, really, really good spam filters.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, really good.
But then, again, you have to tell everyone your new address.
But you only have to ever do it once.
You use them both for a while until everyone catches on.
Yeah.
Right. One of the things he was a little bit concerned about was that potentially someone had gained access to his computer and taken control of it. But there were no other symptoms of anything like that. So.
Right. It is very unlikely that anyone has any of his information.
Yeah,
but he should still at the very least, change his password on his email.
Okay, that sounds like an easy out.
But again, as Steve is right, my suggestion to everyone is always use one of the free accounts. Gmail has excellent spam filters. You get lots of space for your mail. You can still use whatever mail client you use, or you can use their web interface.
Yeah, we use Outlook, so we could just add that as an account to Outlook, right?
Yep. And then gradually move all your friends and family over to it, and when Roadrunner is only getting spam, just stop using it. It'll fill up, they'll start getting notices, and the spammers will move on.
Yeah, and we do both have Gmail accounts because we have phones that are Google or Android, I mean. And we've gotten a little bit smarter about creating our email addresses on those because with numbers and stuff. So
Right.
But anyway, okay, you've been a great help.
No, Barb, I got to ask you one thing. Now, is he listening to this right now?
Betty.
I'm not sure. He would be in another room, and he is.
Oh, I was going to say, you could bribe him and have him take you out to dinner saying, you know what, we got to discuss this over dinner because you're in deep waters.
There you go.
And have him treat you out to dinner because he's got you on the phone solving his issue.
Or a weekend at a B&B.
Yeah.
I know. What kind of guy is this? He makes you call?
Yeah.
That's I'm what ESA. I mean.
Oh, what? You're a systems administrator.
I take care of everything else. Yeah, I take care of the computer.
There you go.
That's fair. All right, that's fair.
Still dinner out
We've
tonight.
We've got a good deal going.
Dinner out tonight, I would say, at least.
Hey, he took me to dinner at Costco the other night.
Oh, yeah. Nice. Several people who did that. They're opening a Costco, and they had a pre...
They did it on the 5th.
They had hamburgers and hot dogs and everything.
Well, my nephews were the ones that painted that whole place.
There you go.
Really?
Yeah.
That was a big job.
Yeah. My Perkins painting did it, and my two nephews are great.
Okay.
That's good job.
Funny. Yeah.
All right, Betty. Let us know where he took you to dinner.
Okay, will do.
Okay, right. Thanks.
Thanks a lot, guys. Have a good day.
Bye.
Nice.
Yeah, that place, I think, just opened up, what was it, Friday?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that was the pre-opening was Thursday.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Whatever.
So it must open Friday. Anyway, the point we're making here with Betty is that because an email address is public, honestly, anybody can use anybody's email address. I get email constantly, nick@rit.edu. And there are probably 200 Nicks at RIT. I'm the only one who has the address, nick@rit.edu.
Yeah, you've been there long enough.
I know where all the skeletons are buried. But and they were very nice to give me. They were very, very nice to give me that many, 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 many years ago.
That's usually how you can tell how long someone has been at that address because they got a very simple address.
Right. But the point here is that people sometimes screw up their addresses, and if your address is like somebody else's address, you start getting their mail, or the other person just says, you know, how many Nicks can there be at RIT? Clearly only one. But it happens, and you know, you just life moves on.
I've got the same name as a semi-famous Scottish actor. He's always the buddy of the leading man, Stephen Ray. And
well,
I get
a girlfriend.
Yeah. That was one of his first big movies. And so I'll get email intended for him every now and then thanking me for coming to their opening or for speaking at, you know, whatever engagement he was at. And
do you write back and say, "Well, I have a new bank."
Yeah.
Yeah. Please.
F you. It was a horrible experience.
Would you please have the check deposited into this new Swiss account?
In case you don't have my new address for the honorarium.
So because of that, I just recently discovered there is a DJ, Nick Francesco.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I don't know anything about his music. But if you Google me now,
So my computer knows I know you.
Yeah.
So when I Google you, I only find you.
No, if you go down to page two.
Yeah, if I go down far enough, I'll find other people.
DJ Nick Francesco.
That's sort of one of the fun things.
I still own the front page, but.
Yep. One of the fun things you can do is Google yourself and see how many pages down it takes to get to actually you.
And you know what? It's never a bad idea to do that. I have a T-shirt that says, sometimes late at night I Google myself. But it is actually a good idea to do that because you need to check your online reputation regularly.
He's a hip-hop artist in Philadelphia.
Yep.
Ever been to Philadelphia?
Actually.
It's Nick Francesco Jr., right?
Yes.
Do you remember?
About 30 years ago. Actually. Anyway, here's the
better
thing.
Living through synthetic chemicals.
Anyway, here's the thing. You should, if we're going to talk about protecting your online reputation, You need to Google yourself fairly regularly. Once a month is not too often, in order to see what other people are saying about you online. One of the nice things you can do is on Google, you can set Google alerts. So when your name comes up, you get an alert. Now, again, if your name is Stephen Ray.
Yeah, if you have a famous
name, that's a problem. And now I'm getting those alerts about DJ Nick Francesco. But it also tells me I have caught any number of people who, and I have one for Security Tango, and that one has caught any number of people who are ripping off my news article, my Q&As in the newspaper. They steal the question and answer, put it on their website under their name.
Oh, yeah.
And I always write to the people who own the website and say, if you'd like to meet the person who originally actually wrote that article, here's how you do that.
And here's the licensing fee.
Right, exactly. So if you ever put anything online, you should set a Google alert for yourself or for the name of the thing you're talking about or whatever, so that that will come back to you. And if all you ever get is you, well, good for you. But if what you get is somebody else using your stuff, well, that's a problem that you need to be dealing with. So you should have Google Alerts. And if you Google the word Google Alerts, alerts.google.com, okay, that'll do it. We're going to take a quick break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, me, Nick Francesco, and you, 40 minutes after the hour. Soundbites, member supported, Jazz 90.1.
Online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at soundbites.org. More with Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 45 minutes after the hour, we are Soundbites, and we have Vic from Rochester, New York, who's hung up. Or we hung him up. Or Vic, call back. We don't know what happened. There's issues somewhere along the line. There was another accident today, and it certainly didn't take out us like it did last week.
Yeah.
Last week, by the way, was just a foreshadowing of what would happen if you people don't pledge during the pledge drive. You think I'm kidding?
No.
But we were off the air last week. We were available only on Ustream and on our audio stream. The problem with the audio stream, again, is you folks are only paying for 100 streams.
Right.
So when it hits 100, which it does constantly.
Quite often.
We bought them crashes flatline. Out. And yeah. This is not us.
Nope.
This is the company that wrote the software that we're using. It kicks everybody off, and then you all have to get back on again. So... last week it was going on and off and on and off and on and off and on. It would drop and 100 people would jump on. It would drop and 100 people would jump on. It would drop. It looked like
quite a roller coaster.
Right, it looked like an EKG thing.
Oh, you know, last week talked about something else here for a second.
Vic, call back, please.
Yeah, we were talking about cutting the cord.
Yeah,
and as I told you, I did a little research, and it's pretty sad because when I looked at because I made a list of the particular programs I like. And then you go on there and through the cut the cord and try to figure out, because they give you a great tool. They have all the channels down there.
Yep.
And you can select the different companies to get the channels you wanted. So I wrote those all down. And it's like, son of a gun. Some of them are on this one. Some are on the others. To get the two and versus my current cable bill, I would only save maybe $5.
Yep.
Plus, I got to get an antenna to get the local stations.
Yep. Yep.
So
yep.
It's like, you know what?
Yep.
Well, and one thing that a lot of people do is they will call the cable company and say, I need to lower my bill. What can you do for me? Because if you go to, here in Rochester, Time Warner Cable, you go to their website, the new customer package deal, phone, internet, and television, is $69 a month.
Yeah.
How much?
$69. most of us are paying about $200 with no deals.
Right.
That seems to be about average. Phil Dempier at StopTheCap.com talked about this. I mean, he was able to cut his bill in half. A lot of times you just call and ask, and you kind of have to threaten to that you are going to go somewhere else, but I need to lower my cable bill. What can you do for me?
You have to be ready to actually do it.
Yeah. One of the big things you can do is most of us are renting our cable modem for our internet service without realizing it, unless you really look at your bill. That cable modem you've had in your basement for 20 years, you're now paying about $10 a month for it. It's like $8.95 plus taxes and fees in France, so about $10 a month. For under $100, you can buy your own cable modem.
And, so in a year, you've paid it off.
Right.
Yeah.
And so you can drop your bill. And check your bill. We do this in our store. Every time a customer comes in with a Roadrunner email address, bring in your bill. A lot of times, say you've changed your service over the years, you've added this channel, you take off a channel, they forget to take it off your bill.
Yeah.
So look at your bill.
If you don't look at your bill, they're not looking at your bill.
Yeah, what about DSL?
Same sort of thing, but Frontier doesn't offer televisions. They just partner with
Surfing
Dish,
in
but they do partner with one of the satellite providers for internet or for television service.
Right.
So you can still get all the same three. And they have similar packages for similar prices. Theoretically, cable is faster than DSL, but a lot depends on your area, your neighborhood. But yeah, check your bill. Make sure you're not paying twice. So say your DVR broke. So you got a new DVR, make sure the old one's not still on your bill. Right. You're not paying for two DVR services.
Yep.
You're not paying for, three cable guides. We saw that on somebody's bill once. You only need one on your television. You don't need three. So check your bill. You might be able to lower your bill quite a bit just by taking off superfluous charges.
Paying attention.
Yeah,
paying
doing a little due diligence instead of just saying, oh, yeah, there's the price, and paying it.
Yep.
I mean, yeah, like you say, it just takes a little time and effort, and that's where sometimes folks have to slow down.
Yep.
And
one of the biggest things with cutting the cord is not watching live shows.
Right.
Waiting until they come on demand. But most of us are used to that anyway because we're doing DVRs. We hardly ever watch. In fact, when the rare time I am watching a live show and the commercial comes on, I'll pick up the remote to fast forward.
I do that all the time.
So when I am going to watch a live show, I'll hit pause. And then, go get something to drink, go to the bathroom, come back in 5 minutes, and then I can skip some of the commercials until I catch up to live.
Yep, yep.
Then I'll go refill my glass.
I do exactly the same thing.
Yeah.
It's an interesting issue that we don't pay attention. We don't pay attention to our phone bills. We don't pay attention to our cable bills.
We just complain how high they're getting.
And if you look at them, and I'm not saying that any of these companies are malicious. But stuff happens. Stuff falls through the cracks. The people who are putting these bills together are human beings. Stuff happens. And in order to keep everybody on the same page, the best thing to do is for you to check your bill. And then the service that somebody like MacAv offers, bringing your bill, will look at it for you, is a beautiful thing. Somebody should be looking at your bill quite regularly. That would be best.
That's how a lot of credit card fraud has worked over the years, a fraudulent merchant will charge $30, $40, or some weird amount, but a small amount, so you don't notice it, and most people just pay it.
Right.
And I've read articles about this. When someone finally catches it and calls, what is that charge? I didn't buy anything from you. Oh, I'm sorry. You must have typo. The better scammers will apologize and reverse the charge, so there's no complaint filed against them.
Right.
But yeah, as an unscrupulous merchant can do, dozens of fraudulent charges a day, and as long as they're small enough, most people will ignore them and just pay the bill, or assume their spouse charged whatever that was.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So you need to pay attention. Yeah. People are scamming all over the place. And like I said, with the cable companies, the phone companies, legitimate errors happen.
Yeah.
Yep.
I'm not saying that those people are scammers in any way. What we are saying, is that in general, you should check your bill because human beings are the people who put those bills together, and they're going to make mistakes. It's just human nature.
And it could be the person that offered you that price for that package on the phone is not the same person who actually added it to your bill.
Or the thing of it is you could be going through and putting together a package, and you know, and they check it off, and then you change your mind about one part of it, and it doesn't get taken off.
Right.
You know, well, and it's an honest mistake, you know, because you're going through and you're doing a lot of talking back and forth, and that can happen also.
This last week, I've been having problems with my cable building, with my cable service. They came out and they checked my house, they checked the poles, they checked everything. Finally, the guy said, look, the only thing that's left is for you to replace your DVR. So I brought back my DVR and got another one, which did not solve the problem.
And you lose all your shows because there's no way to take them off.
I lost all the things that I record. And it did not solve the problem, so I'm really unhappy about it. But when I replaced it, they took the old one, they gave me a new one, and then they were training a guy, and the lady said to the guy, no, you don't charge him for that. Because now he's paying twice.
Right.
And he took it off. But that's just a human error. The guy wasn't trying to scam me. It was just a human error.
Yeah, they remembered to add the new DVR. They forgot to take off the old one.
Exactly. And so once he did that, then the lady was happy. He was happy. I was happy. All God's children were happy. But the point is that he didn't. There was no maliciousness there. It was just a normal human error. And it got solved. But the way you make sure there are no normal human errors is you check your bill.
Yeah, you got to be responsible for your own stuff.
Exactly. Nobody else is going to do it for you. But there are a lot of us. I'm watching a lot of things through my Nexus Player, my Google Nexus Player, which is the next step up from the Chromecast. And I'm watching a lot of stuff through that. I cannot yet get some things from it, but it does Chromecasting, so I can sit at my computer or my Chromebook or my tablet and cast CBS All Access or HBO Go or you know whatever I want to my TV and watch it that way. And I'll tell you, I need the cable itself less and less, particularly since I clearly cannot get a good signal. From it. I just cannot.
Didn't you say you had squirrels every year and they have to come out and rerun the lines?
I don't know if they've replaced the lines this year. Squirrels chew through our cable lines. The guy said he checked them and they said they were fine, but I'm saying I think that's the only thing that's left.
Well, if they cut out coating them with peanut butter.
Yeah.
Coat them with jalapeno sauce instead.
Yeah.
But yeah, in general, and of course, I live in the shadow of Pinnacle Hill, so in my particular case, if I don't have cable, I get every channel perfectly simultaneously.
Simultaneously.
So at any rate, the basic idea is check your cable bill, check to see whether or not there are charges on it that are not right.
Well, in general, your bills, your cell phone bill, your credit card bills,
everything.
My wife laughs at me because I check all my statements, a couple of times a week. Don't wait until the end of the month when your paper bill comes. In fact, you should be going paperless as to help save the environment. But check your bill every now and then.
Places are charging. My bank now charges me to get $2 a month to get a paper copy of my bill. I don't even want a paper copy of my bill. That's another one that I've got to go and tell them, I asked for not paper, and I'm getting paper, and let's fix this, please.
Mm-hmm.
But that's the kind of thing that that you got to pay attention to.
Yeah.
I check everything. I have no reason to believe that anybody is doing anything maliciously, but that's not the point. I check PayPal regularly. I check Google regularly. I check, all of it.
Mm-hmm.
Apple Wallet, what is it called? Apple Pay.
Apple Pay.
You should check it. Because humans make mistakes. Nobody's doing anything vicious or malicious. Humans make mistakes.
Did you see that one, the new scam out right now? This guy was going around probably with a little zip case, bigger than your tablet there, Steve.
Yeah.
And he was going around to people and stealing their credit card information.
Oh, yeah, right out of their wallets.
Because what it is, folks, is if you have those credit cards that have just that you can quick click and tap.
Contactless payments, they sometimes call it.
You can just quick
click. Which is exactly the same thing Apple Pay has.
Google Wallet has.
This guy had a device in this little pad, and he was just going around tapping people because he runs a...
All you have to do is get within a certain distance of them.
He was just right next to him. Right behind him, sort of sideways, and just had that there, and you wouldn't notice it. but he had it near their wallet.
And if you bump into, oh, I'm sorry. And, yeah.
Exactly. You don't even have to touch them.
He runs a security company, and he's trying to teach folks, you know, your cards like that should be in like a little shielded.
A Faraday cage.
Right.
So, so all of your wallets and purses now have to be lined with metal.
Well, no, they've got...
Right. These are called RFID connections, and if you get... you can buy wallets and bags.
Little sleeves, too.
And little sleeves that are RFID secure.
Oh, Think Geek has one, of course.
Think Geek has one. If you're, you know, if you're that kind of person who buys all their wallets from Brookstone, you can get it there. You can get it from Conair. You can get it from pretty much anybody who makes wallets.
But this guy
it's more comfortable than aluminum foil in your pants.
Yes, yes, it
this
is.
This guy, though, was walking around a mall... In just like 4 hours, had over 500 credit cards.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Just walking around and just walking by people. Boom, 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 boom. Yeah. And it was stealing them like crazy.
And so one of the things that Apple and Google have done with their electronic payment systems is it's not just the electronic card in your phone. It's also your fingerprint. Or on the Android devices that don't have fingerprint, it's you type your code in, your phone code in.
Right.
So it's not just physical proximity the way credit cards can be.
Right, but you have to worry about the credit cards.
Yes.
All right, that music tells us you've wasted another hour of your life for absolutely no reason listening to this nonsense. For those of you who are slow learners, you'll get another chance to do it on the other side of the hour as we are only halfway through the insanity that is this show. You can give us a call, 585-966-5299, 1-800-790-0415. And we'll be back in just a few minutes for a whole nother hour of the longest-running computer show in the known universe. Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Nick Francesco, and you. It is Soundbites on the truly great and solely member-supported Jazz 90.1. See you on the other side.
It's America's longest-running computer show. Back to more sound bites with Nick, Dave, and Steve. Next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
This is 90.1 WGMC Greece, Rochester, a public service of the Greece Central School District and official media partner of this year's Xerox Rochester International Jazz Festival. Jazz 90.1.
Streaming online at jazz901.org.
Welcome back to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites, on member-supported Jazz 90.1. Get online now. Call 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free 800-790-0415. Or submit your question by email at soundbites.org. Once again, here's Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 5 minutes after the hour, we are Soundbites. And we have Bill from Irondequoit on the line. Welcome, Bill. What's up?
I had a couple things. First off, this week, green light is coming to our neighborhood.
Oh, so good for you.
I was trying to get some idea of what just plain cable would cost without phone or TV or
right.
an internet, right? And the person from Time Warner told me it'd be around $100, which sounded pretty ridiculous to me, but I let it go.
Yeah.
So I guess the alternative is satellite, right, Dish or whatever to get
Dish or DirecTV, sure.
Right, okay. But my real question was we have a single iPad that's 3 years old and a couple iPhones. And I have one iPhone that is linked to the iPad. You can only link one device to an iPad, correct?
No.
No, right?
You can activate, what is it, 10 devices on a computer, but the devices themselves don't have any limit between each other.
Oh, okay. So my phone, which currently, how do I get it to share pictures then?
You use the iCloud Photo Stream service, which is handled through your Apple ID.
Yep.
And so you log into your Apple ID on each device. If you want to share with other people, there is a service called iCloud Photo Sharing, and you can share your pictures to other people with their email address.
Oh,
And if you have a family, there's iCloud Family Sharing. There's a theme here. iCloud is, yeah, is the major brand. iCloud Family Sharing will let you put all of the Apple IDs of your family together so that if something, if movies, music, TV show, whatever, something is purchased on one ID, all the rest of the members of the family can access that same content without purchasing it again.
Oh, okay.
And that's in settings under iCloud on each of your devices.
Okay, fine.
And that $100 for television probably included the whole house DVR system. TV only starts at $20 a month.
TV only is $20 a month. Okay.
Yeah.
That's what I was trying to get out of her.
But if you want all the extra channels, you want the HD, you want the DVR, you want multiple DVRs in the whole house, that's $100 a month.
One of the things you should probably do is actually look at the website where you can see what the raw actual stuff is.
Okay.
Yeah.
Preferred TV, 200 channels is $50 a month. So, if you need...
That's pretty much all of it then, yeah.
Well, it's a lot of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Okay, so, well, that's
you want to check that out as it stands.
Okay. Thank you very much for your help.
All right, thanks.
Mm-hmm. So technically, the representative he got on the phone was correct. It can be $100 a month.
Yes, it can.
He didn't ask for the cheapest television package they had, probably.
right.
Well, and that's one of the things that all the companies do is if you bundle the services together, internet and phone, or internet and phone and television, then the bundles can be cheaper than the individual packages.
Right.
And so that's one of the things you have to watch out as a cord cutter too. If you try to unbundle your television service, your internet bill may go up because now you're not bundled anymore. So that's something to keep in mind that when you're looking at unbundling. So in Dave's case, he's only going to save $10 a month. He may not because the unbundling may raise his internet price $10 a month.
Right. And Bill, on the other hand, is getting green light in his neighborhood. It will actually likely cost a little more, but it's five times as fast. So, there's a trade-off you don't need to worry about anymore. All right, back to the phones. Our next caller is George from Greece, New York. Welcome, George. What's up?
Need a little help, fellas.
Okay.
I've done little bits of searching on Google over the years, but I'm into a project where I'd like to get a little better, maybe some more advanced techniques. Do I recall that you can put in, for example, if I have a person's first name and a last name, put a plus sign between them, and it will not get all of the first names and all the second names alone, but will only get the combination?
Well, the best thing to do in that, here's the way this works.
Short answer is yes.
Yes, but there's a better way to do it.
Good. That's what I want to hear.
If you want to make sure that you're searching for Nick Francesco rather than all the Nicks and all the Francescos, you put it in quotes.
I'll put it in quotes.
Yeah.
And I leave a space between Nick and Francesco?
Yes, absolutely.
Quotes means search for this exact phrase.
Right. So if you wanted to search for dropping my cable bill... and not also get dropping cable, dropping my bill, bills cable drop, right?
I get the feel.
You'd put it in quotes. Quote, dropping my cable bill, close quote.
Mm-hmm.
If you put a plus sign in front of something, and now we're not talking about quotes anymore. If you put a plus sign in front of something, that tells Google you must include this phrase, this word.
And a minus means never include this.
Yeah, I think they've deprecated.
Deprecated minus, yeah.
The minus.
But there is an advanced Google search page where you can find search results with certain words, without certain words, do not include certain words. And so that's advanced Google.com/advanced_search. There's got to be a shorter URL to that. Oh, I just Googled Google Advanced Search.
Right.
That will take you to the page where you can see all of the options for what the advanced search parameters are.
That's what I need. Did you call it Advanced Google Search?
Yes.
Yep, Advanced Search. There's also a page that Steve can put up that talks about how to search on Google. It's from Google. And one of the choices there is search operators. So you can put The plus symbol says you definitely want some of that stuff.
They still do near? So the two words have to be near each other in the sentence? Because I run into that all the time. I'll search for two words. There's one word at the top of the page and the second word's at the bottom of the page, and they have nothing to do with each other.
Right. You can also reduce your site to certain – your search to certain sites. So let's say you're looking for the Olympics and you only want to search on NBC.com. You can say Olympics space site colon NBC.com, and it will only search there. Or let's say you want one or the other of something, you can use the word or. So search for marathon or race.
Okay. Yep.
Most people don't realize when they're doing a search, it's an implicit and. You're searching for all these words and together. So,
right. So
did you ever take Boolean algebra? Yeah. If you took Boolean logic in class, in fact, one year in college, I was doing Boolean truth tables in philosophy class and math class and computer class in the same week.
Yeah, same.
No, wow.
Yeah. Wow.
But you can
so you
find.
You must have been good at it.
Yeah, exactly. you can also do a Google search for Google search tips.
Okay.
Yep. And there's a Google. There are a couple of Google pages. One is about advanced search. One is about Google tips and tricks. About one of the nice things is now almost every Google site, if you have a microphone on your computer or your phone or whatever, you can hit the little microphone and ask Google things.
Okay.
So you can say convert 16 ounces to pounds. What's this song I'm listening to? When is Mother's Day this year? Remind me to call Steve at 6:30. Remind me to call Steve when I get home. I love that one.
Yep.
But that's for your phone, of course. But a lot of these work on the computer, on your desktop or your laptop as well. So there's lots of searching. Features. Search is ridiculously flexible. It is the thing Google does best. And there are a lot of tips and tricks. Steve's going to post about advanced search and also maybe another article on the parameters.
Google tips there, yeah.
Okay, this has been helpful. Let me go back, though, using some of the tips you just gave. If I searched on, quote, Eastman Kodak, close quote, will that give me all of the Eastman Kodak company?
Yes. So any article containing the exact phrase Eastman Space Kodak.
Right.
Yeah. And anything that sits beyond that comes with it.
Right.
Right. So you get actual Kodak itself, Eastman Kodak Co., Eastman Kodak Company, our company from Eastman Kodak Company, the history of Kodak from Kodak.com,
mm-hmm.
the Wikipedia article, the the Google Finance page, an article on it from The Atlantic on what killed Kodak, another article from Mashable, another article from Forbes, mm-hmm. New York Times.
Okay.
So you're getting all that stuff. If you put it in quotes, then it will only find things that have that exact phrase.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Oh, and this then finds it only, is there a way to just find it in the title of things or anywhere in?
Yes. You can say title, colon, Eastman Kodak.
Okay, I guess I better go read the tips page.
Right, thanks, but guys. Now you can't, I believe, and I'm testing it even as we speak, you cannot use the quotes in title. Yeah, but if you're looking for Kodak Alaris gets found, pictures on Kodak, Kodak digital cameras, so it's in the title it's not quite as... good, but it still works.
Okay, that's helpful. Thank you very much.
Sure.
I know.
Bye-bye.
There's so many things Google can do, and it's amazing how they have figured all this out and how quickly they became the default search engine for everybody. What, 10 years ago now, isn't it?
Yeah.
I remember Alta Vista before that and how great it was.
Yep, I remember Alta Vista, and I liked it.
Yep.
One of the cool things is, just go to Google and type in weather. Just the word weather. and you get your local weather.
It knows. Now, see, that's the other side of Google. It knows some people think too much about you.
Well, right. But in this particular case, it just knows what your IP address,
right,
where your IP address is.
And one of the interesting things, too, is if you're logged into your Google account, you may get different results than if you're not logged into your Google account.
Right.
Because when you are logged in, it basically saves all your past searches. And so it ranks searches more relevant to what you've searched for in the past.
Right. So and also, for example, if I search for Steve Ray, because it knows that I'm your friend on Google and Google mm-hmm. Plus and on everything else, it'll bring you up before it brings up the actor.
Right. So things you know. In fact, there was an article that sparked some controversy last year, 2 years ago. Right-wing people only find right-wing articles. Left-wing people only find left-wing articles right. because Google knows the kind of stuff they like to read, and they only show them that stuff.
Right. Exactly. All right. Back to the phones. Our next caller is John from Chi Line, New York. Welcome, John. What's up?
Hi. I was just thinking about that caller that just got green light and another solution for the cable thing. I just got a flyer in the mail. Was Sling.
Yes, Sling
TV.
Yep.
That's got some good options for channels, and also has ESPN in there, which is, I know, a big thing that a lot of people like to keep dish or cable for.
Yep.
Right.
Yeah. So Sling has different packages with some of the basic popular shows, channels, ESPN, A&E, AMC. And then for additional $5 a month, you can add more packages. So they have an extra sports package with even more sports channels. So that's almost part of the problem is that you've got the Roku box, the Apple TV box, the Google Player box, the Amazon box, the Sling box, all of these different boxes that give you different choices. So, you know, wonderful thing about choices is there's so many of them.
Yeah, right.
Trying to find all of the shows you like, there's no single box that does it all except your cable TV box. And
right.
So that's sort of what we're running into now, is that there are a lot of really great options, but if you have almost too wide an interest, you need to have too many different channels. But yeah, Sling is a great deal too, starting at $20 a month for their basic packages.
So, but thank you very much. You guys
thank
have a good
you.
Day. Listen
thank
to you all the
you.
Time.
Have fun. That's what we like to hear. We're going to take a quick break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, me, Nick Francesco, and you. It is 19 minutes after the hour. We are Soundbites on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Computer talk you can understand. More Soundbites is next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 24 minutes after the hour, we have Jim from Fairport, New York on the line. Speak to us, Jim.
Hi, fellas. How are you?
Peachy, how are you?
Good. The reason I'm calling is you talked to my wife a little earlier. She called in about mail system error, return mail, mm-hmm. blah, 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 blah.
Betty.
That's right.
Yeah, I want you to know she's doing something with a guy named Fred. I think you need to know that. No, I didn't know what your name was, so I just said Fred whenever I talked about it.
I can hear her laughing from downstairs, so there must be some truth to it.
What can we do for you now that we've solved Betty's life?
Yeah.
He's trying to decide where to take her for dinner.
Yeah.
Are you calling to yell at us?
That's always fun. No, actually, the reason I'm calling is I may have pinned down the source of the problem. I just wanted to bounce it off.
Oh.
All this baloney started on Thursday, May 28th, okay?
Yeah.
The coincidence is that's the same day that I did two postings on Craigslist.
Yep.
Uh-huh.
So they get your email address from somewhere, and it's usually from a public forum where your email address is public and not obfuscated. So you may notice that some people in like their signature when they have their email address, it'll be Steve space the word at space jazz space 90.1 space dot space org.
Yeah.
Which
right.
means the robots can't tell that's an email address. Because the robots look for the @ sign and then .com or .org or some easy thing
right.
like that. And so if you obfuscate your email address, if you hide your email address yourself, then it makes it harder for the robots to find it.
Or if you use a different address. One of the interesting things about Gmail that most people don't know, so I have asknick@gmail.com.
Mm-hmm.
If I want to put a Craigslist ad up and then filter on it, I can say my address is asknick@craigslist.gmail.com.
Okay.
And it will still come to my asknick@gmail.com address, and I can then filter it off into a particular folder and deal with it later. And then when I'm done with that, I just set that into my spam folder. And anybody who uses that old address that I don't use anymore, it goes to spam now.
Okay.
That's a really cool feature.
I just wanted to call in and offer that because it's either a large coincidence, if you believe in such things, or that's what changed.
There ain't no such thing as a coincidence.
That's what I think. Anyway, I've gotten, since May 28th, I threw all these bogus responses and all that into a spam folder. I created a folder and put them in, and there's like 35 of them since then. But I'm going to bet that that's where the problem originated, and I don't know if that means somebody hacked them. I really don't know what it means, but I think
it just means you can set your return address if you use the right email client.
Yeah.
You can set your return address to anything you want.
And so what the bad guys will do is they will scan public forums that are meant to be read by everyone, looking for @ signs and finding email addresses to use to hide themselves when they send out the junk mail.
Nice.
Right.
All right. So I just wanted to offer that.
One thing we suggested to Betty, aside from you taking her out to dinner, is that you should probably both of you should use your Gmail addresses rather than your Roadrunner addresses. And there's two reasons for that. As Steve pointed out, their spam filters are aggressive and excellent. And secondly, if you do change service providers, you don't care.
You take them the same address with you.
Right.
Yeah, that's the problem with changing it. Trying to go through everything I have that's based on my email address is a big task. It isn't just emails to people. There are a lot of banking things and whatnot that start out and you're into your business.
Yep.
What a pain in the rear.
Well, but now's the time to do it.
Yeah.
Yep.
Because you're still on Roadrunner.
Yeah, when I started with Roadrunner, there wasn't a Gmail.
Right. So, right, me too. So now is the time, because now you can gradually, over a year, 2 years, even 5 years, catch everybody who's still got your Roadrunner address.
Right.
And remind them to start using your Gmail address. As opposed to, we've got to quit Roadrunner, now what?
And Gmail catches, I mean, there's so many stuff that
they're aggressive and good
that gets filtered out that goes right to my spam. I mean, a lot of junk of that coming from China and all this other stuff, and it's like, nope, I don't even see it. It just goes right to my spam, and I got my spam to empty at the end of each day.
One of the things is there are blacklists. People put together, companies put together lists of known spammers. Google uses those lists. So if something comes in from that CDPTPA dash, whatever it is that your wife mentioned,
they knock it out.
They knock it out. You never even see it.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, it really is. And you can also create a whitelist so that if you actually want to get email from CDPT, whatever it is, you can. It checks your whitelist first, then it checks the blacklist. So if you never create a whitelist, you're fine. All that junk goes away. But if you do want something from something that gets put in your spam, you can whitelist it.
Okay. Thank you.
All right.
Appreciate it. I got to go downstairs and have a little discussion about Fred.
Yeah.
See you. Good luck. And where to go to dinner.
Yeah.
She's probably going to tell him. If he does it, Fred will.
Fred will. That's how it works. But yeah, it's a It's not just computer advice. We're solving marital problems or perhaps causing them. We're not entirely sure which. All across America and throughout the known universe. So, and don't forget, give us a call, 585-966-5299, 1-800-790-0415, just like Richard did from Irondequoit, New York. Welcome, Richard. What's up?
I caught you guys late, and I believe today's the day we need to reserve our copy of Windows 10, is it?
Well, you can reserve it any time. What happens is, if you are running Windows 7 or 8.1,
yeah.
If you look down in the lower right, in the system tray there, where the time is and all that other stuff, you will find a little, suddenly will appear a little Windows 10 icon, which is like the window only slanted a little.
Oh, so they've sent it already.
Right, but not everybody's got it yet. So, well, two things. If you're the sort of person who mostly leaves their machine off, you want to leave it on for about a day, and they'll catch you generally then. But if your machine is mostly off, they will not. And any time between now and July 29th, you can reserve your copy. Now, it's first come, first served. And I first saw the thing show up yesterday.
Oh.
My Windows machine, I actually have a Windows machine now, I'm embarrassed to say. But it's a laptop, so it's not on all the time. But I was doing a bunch of updates and a bunch of other stuff and suddenly saw it there.
Oh, okay.
So wait till it shows up, and then you click on it, and it takes you to a page, and you go through it, and you do it.
Okay, cool. Now, I have two email addresses and three computers. Would I only do it once?
No, you do it once for each computer.
Once for each computer, but not each email address.
Right. It has nothing to do with your email address and everything to do with your computer.
Computer, okay. Number two, I just sent a laptop, took a laptop to repair because it was totally messed up with malware and a virus. But yet I tried running your Security Tango on it, and that wouldn't work. Everything kept popping up. So I ran your Tango on a desktop, which was healthy, and then I took each bit of the Tango and I tried loading it onto a thumb drive and then take the thumb drive and stick that into the laptop, which was infected. It didn't work at all. What are the tricks for taking the bits of the Tango to a thumb drive and then inserting that into an infected computer?
Well, when you download, okay, two things. First, when you want to move the Tango onto an infected computer, one of the things you do is you download the programs, but you don't install them. All of them download as a zip file or whatever, and you put those, the actual downloads themselves, onto that flash drive and move it over.
Okay.
And then put them on, and then double click them so that it opens them up there. The problem with any flash drive, however, is that most of them cannot be write protected anymore. So the minute you put it in that machine, if it's got a problem, then that problem is going to be transferred to that flash drive.
Okay.
Right.
So don't put it back in your clean machine.
Right. Or when you do, make sure that your antivirus is and your malware programs are set to check it first.
I did format the flash drive, thumb drive.
Okay, then that's helpful. But the second thing is that there are some root kits that simply the Tango cannot get.
You're right. I believe that was my problem. Yeah.
And that's a different issue. A root kit runs before even the operating system runs.
Okay.
And therefore protects itself from anything that's run from the operating system.
And usually on a root kit, quite often I have found I have to take the hard drive out of the machine and put it on one of my test machines to remove it there because it's not then the boot drive.
Right. And so therefore it doesn't run the root
kit. Right, so I
can
get rid of the root kit and then put it back in the machine.
Okay. Sometimes if your machine is heavily infested but not too badly infested, there's a fine line there, you can boot in safe mode and at least get the first pass of some of the anti-malware programs to run and remove the worst of the stuff in safe mode.
Okay. The keywords here then are download first and then run second. Is that correct?
Yes, download the zip file or however it comes down. Sometimes it's a self unzipping exe file. Whatever, right. And so you just, whatever you downloaded before you double click on it to start it.
I see.
You take that file that you would double click on, move that over to the flash drive.
My sister was in town from Florida, and we tried downloading a free movie program. And we got so messed up, we were clicking on everything, and I think that's what caused the virus and the malware to become...
Lot of those free things computer, so are...
I know what I did wrong, and it'll cost me money to fix it. Thanks, guys.
Yep.
Sorry.
You have to be very careful on those. Download those free, you know, free this and free that. The joke is that every download is free. Yeah. To use the program, you may have to pay. Right. And a lot of times, those free offers include malware. And that's why they're free, is because, you know, the advertising company paid them to include it.
Right. As Lazarus Long once said, there ain't no such thing as a free lunch.
Yep.
And he's not the only one who said it. Harry Truman said it. Everybody said it. All right. Back to the phones. Our next caller is John from Rochester, New York. Welcome, John. What's up?
Hi, fellas. I just wanted to say, firstly, I think you guys do a great job. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
You were speaking earlier about, I know, Nick, you're a big proponent for Gmail. What about Yahoo?
Any one of them will work. Any one of them will be a useful alternative to an ISP's mail address.
Sure.
But the big difference is that Google has a much more aggressive spam filter than Yahoo does.
Okay.
And Yahoo tends to be more full of ads because that's a bigger part of their business.
Okay. So I've had Yahoo mail addresses before Gmail existed. So I have a few of those, and I don't necessarily want to change them because, like you said, the Yahoo services are good. What I don't like is that on my Android, the Yahoo Mail Android app is pretty terrible.
Yeah, I've heard that. That's obviously Yahoo's the one who puts that out. That's their their thing. I don't know what to tell you about that.
So what I did, I heard you mention a moment ago that the Gmail Android app, you can use other services to check your Yahoo Mail and Ymail on the Gmail app, which, I tried that out, and I like the Gmail app, so that's what I do. But what I found out is that the soonest that you can get them to sync is every 5 minutes, which, not that that's, you know, hugely a long period of time, but... And I keep the Yahoo app so that I can get the notification immediately, and I don't have it synced. But anytime I send a message, I actually go into the Gmail app to send it. So
right.
But I guess I actually do have a quick duty question. Hopefully,
I'm sorry.
I'm gonna go into.
I think we kind of lost you. We got.
I'm still here.
Well, we got to take a break anyway.
Okay.
Hey, if you want to hang on the line?
Yeah, that's fine. If that's okay.
Perfect. We're going to take a quick break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, me, Nick Francesco, John from Rochester, and you, 39 minutes after the hour, Soundbites, a member supporter of Jazz 90.1.
Before you call into our show, please make note of the following rules. 1, turn your radio down. 2, turn your radio down lower. 3, remember, nobody has invented a good-sounding speakerphone yet. Don't use them. 4, make sure you have a point. It makes for a more interesting show. 5, calling does not guarantee you'll get on the air. No whining. 6, if you do get on the air, please do not tell the host what you just told the screener. We don't care. And 7, is that radio turned down yet? We hope this will make for a more enjoyable program, and we thank you for your time.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Edwin.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 44 minutes after the hour, we still have John from Rochester on the line. Go ahead, John.
All right. So I have a Windows 7 desktop that I bought from a friend of a friend some years back. Turned out it was not an official copy of Windows. So I've had some stability issues that I kind of toughed it through. But maybe last week Thursday, there was a quick power outage in my neighborhood.
Okay.
So there was a, you know, a loss of power for maybe like 2-3 minutes, and that's my son yelling in the background. But the router, the wireless, everything came back on. The printer came back on. The desktop did not, so I just kind of started it, and I was kind of doing this like stutter step, like it, but it doesn't actually power on.
Yeah, what can often happen is when you don't shut down an electronic appliance properly, it can damage it. Oftentimes, it's the directory or the what do they call it on Windows? The fat table.
Yeah, the fat.
Yeah, and so it may have trouble finding where the files are, and sometimes what's the command? Scan SF? No, not SFC.
SFC. Scan now.
So if you can get to a command prompt, at least. And try to repair the directory damage.
Well, the scan fix for /, I think it's R for repair. It's been a while since I've done a scan fix.
Yeah,
but there is usually scan. Well, matter of fact,
the problem is he can't even get it. Won't even boot to anything, right?
At this point, that's why I was
Wait a minute. If you continually, because you got Windows 7, if you continually hit F8 when it's booting, it should.
It's not even booting.
Before it boots.
I know about safe mode.
Yeah. You can't even get into safe mode?
What's happening when I hit the power button, I hear it sound like it's going to start, and then it sounds like I turned it back off.
All right. So that's a more hardware fault.
Yeah. That's
when power fails,
the hard drive could have been taken out.
No, power supply, I'm thinking.
Yeah.
If it sounds like it's powering off,
it could be
the power supply. Yeah. So what often happens, especially with unexpected outages, is the voltage drops. It comes back up a little bit, goes down, it comes up, and then goes off. And so that up and down that technically is not counted as a surge, so it's not something your surge protector will stop, can overtax the power supply, and it can malfunction and need to be replaced.
Right. Your best bet at this point is to take it to somewhere and have them actually
do a diagnostics at it and tell you what the problem
sadly,
is.
It sounds like a hardware issue.
Okay. All right.
Sorry.
All right. No, thank you.
Yep.
Thank you, John.
And so one of the things we like to recommend, especially here in Rochester during the summer, is a UPS, which is basically a battery that runs your computer.
Mm-hmm.
So if the power fails or even just fluctuates, your computer is running off that battery and doesn't crash.
And you can
set it up so that
it will properly shut it. You can set it up in the procedure to properly shut it down. So that way, and that's what I usually recommend because it's better to safely shut it down. So whether it's a few seconds or a few hours that the machine, you know, the power is going to be off, your machine will be avoided of having that issue. It's a lot easier to just go up to the, turn it back on, have it come up, even if it's a short hiccup.
Yep.
You know, it's better to do it that way, have it properly shut down than the other.
When the power comes back on is almost worse because then it's even harder on the power supply.
Mm-hmm.
And you can get a UPS for $50. The more you spend, the more battery time you get. So for $50, you only may get 10 minutes of battery, but that's enough to do a normal, proper shutdown. Which saves
the computer.
That's
all you need,
So it'll
properly shut it down and exit out and power it down.
Right, and there are really two basic types. There's all kinds of types, but the two basic types are the standby and the line interactive, they're called. And the standby is essentially a transfer switch, transfers you from the electricity coming out of the wall to the battery. The line interactive kind, actually the battery is always working in the system. And that one's better because the way a line interactive works, essentially you're always charging the battery. Works kind of like a laptop that's in good condition works. It's always charging the battery, and the battery then runs the computer. And a battery is much better at absorbing surges and dealing with brownouts than a non Line Interactive or a standby UPS.
Sometimes they're also called the AVR or automatic voltage regulator.
Right.
And the brownouts and the spikes are much more common than a surge. So, you know, don't rely on the $20 surge suppressor you got with your computer setup.
Yeah, the problem with surges is, as Steve said, the real problem is brownouts. But also, most surge suppressors only work once. They have a small breaker in them, a fuse in them. And when the surge gets high enough, it breaks the fuse, which prevents the problem from hitting your computer. But then, the alternative being to shut down, what it does is it then bypasses the fuse.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have a second one, then you've got the same problem, but without the fuse in the way.
Or if it fails closed instead of failing open,
right,
then the power just keeps going.
Right. So you got to be very careful as to what you buy. And most types of UPSs, the problem with UPS, of course, is that eventually the battery needs to be replaced. I just replaced the battery in my UPS.
Mm-hmm.
And sadly,
It's almost as much as the UPS is.
It's almost as much as the UPS is.
Yeah.
Sadly, I did something wrong. It won't stop beeping. So right now I have no UPS. And of course, we had a thunderstorm last night. I was absolutely certain there was going
to
be a problem.
You usually have to tell it that you replaced the battery.
Well, no, it would never get... I mean, you just put it in and... Anyway,
yeah.
I did everything right, but I hooked something wrong, I think. I just have to sit down.
You got your plus and minus backwards?
Through, though.
Yeah, it really is. What?
You got your plus and minus backwards.
I don't think so, but I will check the thing.
There's
again.
Only two wires, Nick.
You had one job.
Red, black.
Yeah, I think what happened is one of them is kind of up. It's two batteries sandwiched together.
Yeah.
And one of them is kind of up inside there, and I think it just got pulled loose when
probably,
I put it
yeah.
together. I just have to take it apart and do it again. I just didn't
oh,
have
that's
time
scary.
Yesterday. Yeah. Me doing...
Yes!
I'll take it to your house. I'll be at your place this afternoon. I can do software all day long. You put hardware in my hands, the hands start to shake. I can't get it done.
Yeah, I remember that.
I'm terrible at it. I admit
yeah,
it.
I know. I saw you.
Part of it really is the arthritis. I mean, I just don't have any dexterity anymore.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
oh, yeah.
It's like having a couple of blocks of wood on the end of your arm. It's hard to actually do anything. But but the point is I do not have a UPS at this moment. And, of course, we're in thunderstorm season. Those of you who do not have a UPS and it is thunderstorm season, you should get one.
Yes.
I mean, you've spent thousands on your computer equipment, spend hundreds to protect it for another year.
And just turning the computer off is not necessarily good enough. A close enough lightning strike will go through that switch.
Yeah.
Right.
So unplug it from the wall.
And that's the other thing. For the folks that have, you know, those fail-safe mm-hmm. devices, you know, it trips. It served its purpose.
Yep.
You know, it's the surge protector is now just a gang plug.
Right. Every one of my surge protectors has a little red light on it.
Right.
That is on now, which says it's not protecting anymore.
Yep.
Right.
And I don't care because I have a UPS,
right.
but
and the other thing people often forget is your cable modem. It used to be your dial-up modem, but now your cable modem, DSL modem, that's another wire coming into the computer.
Right.
After thunderstorms, we see a lot of computers with blown Ethernet ports.
Yep. Right,
because it came in through the cable modem.
Mm-hmm.
You might have had your computer turned off or your computer's on a UPS, but the cable modem may not be. And that so you'll see a lot of UPSs will have a coax
yep.
line. Some of them still have telephone jacks too for those of us using telephones.
Yeah.
So yeah, run that through the UPS, and then that will control that surge as well.
Yeah, it's there's a lot more to the way things are hooked up electrically than just we plug it in the wall.
Mm-hmm.
We get complacent because of all the rules and regulations in house building that make it pretty dang safe.
Yeah.
But pretty dang safe is not 100% safe. And so adding a UPS, the right kind, the line interactive UPS to a system is really that one extra step that will help. Again, not necessarily perfect, but will help.
There's a new electrical procedure that looks wrong. Outlets are upside down now.
Yeah.
When I was a kid, it was a smiley face. You had the two on top and the one on the bottom.
Yep.
Until someone realized that if you drop something on a plug, you're crossing the hot and the neutral. So now outlets are plugged in upside down, so the ground is on top. So if something falls on the plug, it hits ground and doesn't actually short it out.
Yep. All right, that music tells me you've managed to get through 2 solid hours of this. You deserve an award, but really all you get is 166 hours of Not Us. We'll be back next week with a whole lot more of the longest-running computer show in the known universe with Dave Enright, with Steve Ray, with me, Nick Francesco, and you. Do not go away because George is coming in to play the best German music you'll hear all week. Michael is here to keep him on the straight and narrow. So it's 3.5 hours of pure, unadulterated joy. Assuming you can say that about German music. And 2.5, right, sorry, 2.5. And we'll be back next week with sound bites on the truly great and solely member-supported Jazz 90.1. See you in 166 hours.